for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, May the 25th, 1985. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas, will be the minister of the morning.
I tell you, I am so grateful that God allowed me the privilege of coming to the camp in the first time that I came down here. And God allowed me to meet Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. And I know the camps that we've ministered down here, other times we've seen this year folding doors folded up, and we've had two rows people there in those tables there because such an overflow crowd. But I want you to know today, I am confident that God is able to take care of His business. And I believe that God has got those here that He wants to be here. Praise the Lord. So we're grateful for that. Haven't we enjoyed the ministry that has been here? I so enjoyed Brother Thompson last night. And I'm going to get with Brother Thompson before that we separate in this camp. And I'd like to invite Brother Thompson to come to be one of our convention speakers in Fort Worth, Texas. We have an international convention the third week of March. Brother Glenn and Irma has attended, and Nina and Jim has come and been there with us in the meeting there. And, of course, Doug and Ann have been there with us. And we're so grateful for what God is doing today. And as I see my brother last night unfold truths, because when I see this man, I see a great teacher, a great apostle of the Word of the Lord, and I appreciate that. But how many remembers when Jesus went to Gethsemane to pray? And when He went there to pray, how many knows that there was some apostles to the Lamb that went there to pray too? But how many knows that there were some of those apostles, they went to sleep? Hello there. Hello there. Brother Thompson, I am so grateful, and I'm grateful and I'm a debtor under God this morning, that God's got some men and women today that they've ran, but they have not went to sleep. I know great men of God that started out in this race with us. We ran together a long time. But today they have went to sleep. It's not how that we ran for a while. Brother, we got to bring this to the finish. The reward's at the finish. And I tell you, I praise God for my brother being tough. Telling it just like he is, like it is. All the time, when I was just a little child, I was always taught that don't worry about anything. And just as a young boy, you see, God had called me for this end time. I would go to my pastor and I'd cry out to God and I'd cry. I'd lay before the altar and I didn't want to leave. Just lay there and cry out for God to work His will and His ways within me. The pastor would come and shake me, and he said, "Now look, Billy, don't ask God to do anything, because God will take this to you, His heart, and God will do it." And he said, "After all, Billy, you're just doing well. You just keep on doing what you do till Jesus comes and takes you out of all of this mess." Have you ever been taught that? Oh, yes. So, well, then I'd cry out to God for the more, because I would stand and begin to reveal what God was saying and what God was doing. Have you ever been a round peg to fit in a square hole? Have you ever been a misfit? And I'm not talking about being rebellious, because the rebellious dwell in the dry land. But all the while I was crying out for the fullness of God to come forth within me and with through my being. So then they were telling me, you're doing all of this in your street meetings, you're doing this and that and everything. You're doing everything just right. Just wait till Jesus comes. That was not good enough for me. I looked at him one day and I said, if this is all there is to it, I've quit. I've quit. But then in 1962, I came from a life of just existing into a life that I began to live. And this became my lifestyle. I found out as I began to get into the Word and look at that Word, read that Word in many hours to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, I did not know, and I would cry and weep over the Word, and I'd reach down and wipe the tears off from the pages of the Bible. I'd wear out a Bible, I'd get a new one, wear it out, crying on the pages and weeping before God. Then I found out that God was not looking for no escapees. God was not looking for no deserters. But God was looking for a people, hallelujah, God, that was going to remain in the earth, hallelujah, and to bring forth the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, this is what God is doing today. God reminds me of a scripture in Genesis chapter 12. God's called Abraham out. He's brought him through 7 separations. And all of this, God's already blessed Abraham. He's pitched his tent at Bethel. All of these things. Then I look in the 9th verse, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now, brother and sister, 35, 20, and 30 interstates comes into Fort Worth, Texas. I turned off on that interstate on Highway 7 to come into Hot Springs, Arkansas. But I want you to know that that interstate journeyed on, and it said, I believe the next town was Little Rock. Maybe some little bitty towns. Said Little Rock, so many miles. But brother and sister, this morning, I want you to know, just because that you got off is no reason that God stopped. After that, the blood has been applied to your life. You are saved. And you are brought into the realm of the Spirit that you will be saved. But brother and sister, just because that you got off, God didn't quit there. Brother, just because that you've been saved and filled with the Spirit, you haven't come to your ultimate in God. Because you, when you come to that place and you're in position that God can endue you with power and give you power for living clean, living separated, under God, that you can walk this out in the earth today in shoe leather. I heard of Brother Thompson, but I didn't know who he was. I knew Brother Ed Corley, who used to be in Baldwin, California, also was president, not president, but a dean of men, Elam Bible Institute in New York, Brother David Shock, and Brother Leonard Fox. I've known them for many, many years. And they're all out there on the West Coast. I'm grateful this morning that to know that I've met another man that's crying out for the same thing that we're crying out for. So now I want us to look into the Word of the Lord this morning. Turn with me into the book of Romans for a launching pad. We're going to start at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And the Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I don't read anything about us escaping out. I don't read anything of a rapture. I read that the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Have you always wondered why that God always tossed the unrighteous out and left the righteous? And how come that we got, as our brother said last night, that it's one girl who got the prophecy? But Daniel went through. Noah, who means rest, he went through. The three Hebrew children went through. Joseph went through. Abraham went through. Paul went through. So now what is God saying? God says, I'm looking for a people that's going to remain. Now, I want you to know, to remain, you have to war even against death. I have heard an old cliche that if you leave a rotten apple in a barrel, that the barrel of apples will go to rotten. And if you take that barrel out, that it won't rot. But that is not true, folks. You can take that rotten apple out of the barrel, and the apple will still rot. But brother and sister, you know why that they go to rot? Because the element of death is in the apple. And brother and sister, the element of death is within you and I today, but you and I are reaching out to touch God's life that the element of death will be removed from us. Now, how do you remain? Let's notice a little further. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, the showing forth. Now, the J.B. Phillips translation says it this way, that they're standing on tiptoe. They're standing on tiptoe looking for the appearing of the sons of God. Brother and sister, today, I'm in great expectancy to see God to be manifested in the mortal flesh in the earth today. So now, I want you to turn to our scripture now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Our brother quoted last night in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. But God appearing in the saints. I so appreciated last night. Because really and truly, the enemy, we don't like to brag on him, don't like to give him no credit whatsoever. But the enemy has breathed out a flood of error upon the body of Christ. And there's every type of doctrine out there that there can be. Just about. All of these things. But I so was blessed last night when my brother said that that same Jesus is going to touch again and sit on the throne of David. Because we've got people that look at me like that I'm a round peg in a square hole when I say that Jesus is going to literally return again. Because they said, look, if you want to see Jesus, look me over. As a poor specimen. I want you to know Jesus returned and he left the Holy Ghost here. He left the Christ here. But the same Jesus that you've seen go away shall return in like manner. But the Christ is already here. Hallelujah. But now let's notice as we look here in verse 16. Let's look at 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. So God began to deal with me about this remain. So I began to look this up. And brother, this means to continue. Of course, I know they don't do it in Arkansas, but they do it in Texas and Oklahoma and the Carolinas and Georgia and the other places that I've been to. They're always telling us Oh, Brother Smith, I know that I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. The next time I see them, they look like the troop that run over the wall fell in on them. Brother and sister, God's bringing us to a place until you and I are going to be the same in all time. It is a lifestyle. It's the kingdom of God being brought within us. Brother and sister, so what if the enemy gets out there and roars as a lion? Is it going to scare you? No, sir. I'm just going to begin to exercise the authority of God, the Word of God that's been planted in my very being until I can say it's written in this temple of yours right here that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we've had elders from our church that has had sort of some wishy-washy places. And you know, the Bible says us elders, you know, we're supposed to come on up there, be without reproach. And while we're talking about this, everybody's always thinking about the kingdom, all the authority that we're going to get. And oh, we're just going to call down fire. We're going to do all of those things. Let me tell you how the kingdom walk starts in your life. You can just walk into the building. Doesn't matter if it's your building or not. You can reach down and pick up papers off from the floor. And then, you know something else. When I go to a home, or if I'm staying at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, when I begin to take my toiletries out of my shaving kit, and I begin to put my shampoo, my conditioner, or my deodorant, aftershave lotion, all of these things, instead of setting it on the furniture, I take a washcloth that's provided for me, I put it on top of the furniture, and then begin to set it on top of there. Then when I go to the barbershop to get a haircut or to the grocery store, I put my automobile between those lines and park it. Come on, folks. And brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. It's a style, brother, that becomes your life. Now, and I've had these elders to tell me, said, Brother Smith, said, Pastor, whoa, this means we see we walk around in faith about this deep, you know. Oh, Brother Smith, when I get home, you're going to see a change. We get home for 4 or 5 days. Oh, they're just, how many have heard that terminology? On cloud nine. Oh, for 4 or 5 days, they're on cloud nine. Then the next time I see them, they got one of these. What's your problem? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know if everything is went in reverse, Jesus Christ is still the same. Hallelujah. You see, folks, this is not a roller coaster style of life. Hallelujah. This, Brother Thompson, is changing levels. That the gravity of your life is changed because you've been born from above. You've been raised up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to God. You've been made accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. But, oh, brother, I can continue. But then the first little old thing that comes their way, and then something drives them back down again. Brother and sister, I feel sorry for some people. I would to God that everybody that's hearing me this morning could be a pastor for a few days. Come on. Is that right, Brother Thompson? Brother, you think that you got problems. We got yours plus our own. Come on. We got yours plus our own. Sometimes I would get in there. Somebody has just did something terrible and all of this, and I wonder, Lord, why won't they grow up? Lord, how long am I going to part their mustache and put a bottle in there? Why won't they grow up? All of a sudden, somebody will come and they'll need help, and I forget about everything that's come our way. We begin to hover in. We begin to meet that need in their very life. But brother, I'm talking about a people that's going to continue on. How are you going to enter into the kingdom of God? Through much tribulation, the Bible says. Do you believe that? Do I need to turn to it? Is it in the book? Okay, then we won't have to go to it then. Hallelujah. But must remain reliable, remain until the coming of the Lord. Shall not forbid them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, just for a moment in stopping here, before we go into the next verse, because this is not really what I'm after this morning. But if you'll notice that the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are people that are preaching that the resurrection has already taken place. I realize that we've been raised out of our sins and trespasses, but I want you to know the resurrection hadn't already taken place yet. But here's one thing that I want to sound alarm unto you this morning about. If you go by the way of the grave as Jesus, as just the Lamb of God that has saved your soul and washed you with the blood of the Lamb, and you don't know Him as the in Christ in life, the in Christ in life that's coming within you, then you'll not be of those that's going to rise first. Now, brother and sister, there are the different levels, those that sleep in Jesus, and those that died in Christ, that they were taken by the way of the grave, that the in Christ in life was instilled within them. Then they rise first. Then, let's go down a little further. Then we which are alive and remain continue. And Abram journeyed on toward the south. And many times we see where God moved and they think that God stalled out. I was in a place preaching and all that I heard, I tell you, Brother Thompson is tough about coming out and just ungodly living in the charismatic ranks. Come on. Bob Mumford, you say, Brother Thompson, I know Bob Mumford personally. Bob Mumford was in a seminar in Irving, Texas. I went to this sermon seminar. So Bob Mumford said, what's the problem today in the charismatic ranks? I raised my head. He looked at me and he said, Brother Bill, tell us. I said, the real problem is the charismatic thought that they started at the top of the round of the ladder. And brother, there was no foundational work that was done in their very being. Brother, it takes a foundation that is under your being because the building is only as good as the foundation. Brother, you look at the structure of this building here. It's just only as good as the foundation. So, brother and sister, how are you going to remain if there is no foundation that's going to weather the storm that's upon the earth today? Brother, we're in the beginning of sorrows now. I never heard of this in all my life. Being the father of two girls. And of course, I love my girls. I still love my girls. They're both married now. And everything. But I was very strict with my girls. But it's shocking today. A little young lady from our church that's 12 years old came to me the other day and says, Pastor, I've got to talk to you. And said, what time can I come over to the house? And I said, well, you can come about 10 o'clock. This girl, she's 12 years old. She's got a friend that is 12 years old and has already got a baby. So the other day, this girl wanted to come down to visit her that's gotten a baby. To me, 12 years old, my baby girl was yet still sleeping around with us. I raised her just as a baby because, you see, this child, I had buried two children in 1 week of my own children. That's pretty tough. So the doctor says, no more children for you. So then when this child was born, Our refrigerator looked like a drugstore. And then that was not good enough. Every 6 weeks we had to take her to get more treatment at the doctor's office. So I had already learned a secret. When I lost my children, I was walking in rebellion. So I'd walk the wing. I was not a Christian. Walking the wing of the hospital. God, if you'll just heal my little girl. God, I'll preach for you. God, I'll do anything you want to. God, let's make a deal. Hello there. No hunk of flesh is going to make no deals with God. God is the boss. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. God, if you'll just do this, I'll do that. But Brother Glenn, Irma, Nina, and Jim both. That's see my little blonde-haired girl. She plays the piano at the church. And so, when that child was in the condition she was in, I said, God, I'm not making no more deals with you. I'm not going to try to go to the bargaining table with you. God, I'm going to submit and commit my life to you. I'm going to become your responsibility. And then my child is your responsibility. So then I want you to know, just as a baby, a little over a year old, here she is in all of this condition. So one day, we settled it all with God. So I took that child, my own self, carried up in my arms, and I said, God, I don't know much about the wave offerings. I don't know much about that because, you see, this was 22 years ago. I said, God, I waved this child of mine before you. It's yours, Lord. Brother, God gave us a miracle with that child. God completely healed that child. And I want you to know that little old blonde-headed thing. They said, Brother, you tell you, you got one that looks like you and you got one that looks like your mother. That child, you that know her, know that she's a spitting image of me, except she's pretty. I want you to know, tore my heart, I walk out there behind me in my backyard, following me step by step and saying, Daddy, and singing that chorus. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. I went to the refrigerator. I took out all of the medicine. Everything, I dug a hole in the backyard and I buried it right there. From that day on until my child started to school, we never took her to the doctor. She never got no shots. She never got anything. So instead of trying to buck the system, when the teacher sent home a letter and says, Susan Michelle is going to have to show a certificate of her shots or she'll have to leave the school. We took her the next day and got those shots for her to be able to stay in school. My wife looked at that doctor and says, Doctor, while that you have her here, said, give her a complete physical. Oh, when that doctor came out of there and he said, Sir, if there's anything, said, this child is above normal in every aspect. Oh, brother and sister, today, this is why that I can trust my life into it. It's because it's my lifestyle today. Because I've seen it work. Hallelujah to God in our own life and in our own assembly at home. Hallelujah. Alive and remain. Remain to continue. You said, but Brother Smith, I don't like that word continue. Let me, maybe you would like this meaning better then. To live after. Brother and sister, I'm talking to a people that we're not going out here and getting 7 days of water supply, 7 days of food supply, and burying it in the ground so that no contamination gets there. I'm talking about so a place in God. Anything that you and I eat will become vitamins unto us. Hell, hallelujah, that we will become immune to what is coming up on the face of the earth. But brother, you'll never be there until you are an overcomer, until God cleans out your life and brings you into the realm of authority that you will have dominion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Growing up, continuing, brother, and you know what? My wife and I will be leaving for the Carolinas next, a week from tomorrow afternoon. We'll be there for the morning service at our home, at our church, and we'll be leaving for North Carolina. And you know who's going to be preaching while we're gone? That daughter of mine that God has so instilled within her, a word of God. Me at night, look into that bedroom door and see the light under that door and hear her praying and reading, studying the word of God, that the word to be worked into her life. Brother and sister, this is where it is today. I didn't come down here to put on anything. I didn't come down here to take on anything or anything like that. I did not come down here to get the victory. But brother and sister, I learned a secret. I came down here walking in the victory that was won from the foundation of the world when Jesus Christ our Lord said, "It's finished." Hallelujah to God. And then He grafted me into that finished work. Hallelujah to God. I know that God's still cleaning us up and God is still working with us because I've already told you that. But brother, today, God is doing the work within us that's going to cause you and I to remain, or to live after, or to continue. Now, turn with me into Hebrews chapter 1, and let's look here at the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, and verse 10 and 11. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou," what? "Remainest." Now, how many knows that the Bible said that not one jot or tittle of His word shall pass away, but all shall be fulfilled? "But thou remainest." Now, brother and sister, when you're linked with the eternal God, you already are linked with what is already past, and yet you're linked with present day truth today, and then God has linked you with what is going to yet to come. Hallelujah to our God. "So now thou remainest." And brother and sister, I want you to know, if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. And brother and sister, how do you remain? When the enemy comes in like a flood, I lift up a standard against him by the Spirit of God, and I enter into the presence of the Almighty God. That's how that I remain. Not in my own strength, not in my ability, but in the ability of God. No wonder that Paul, the great apostle, said, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh." Thou remainest. Thou to continue or live after. Now, I know, and so I must go through this area right now. I appreciate Brother Thompson dealing with 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, dealing with the two witnesses that they lie in the street for 3.5 days. And then they're not buried, but then they stand up and begin to minister. Now, brother and sister, for what it's worth to you, we are laying our life down today. A street is where there's activity and people are moving about. Now, brother and sister, when you came to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, you was already numbered when you went in that door, so you just as might as well get in and join with us. Come on. You just might as well be a part of us because you're already numbered. And if you please, you're also going to be numbered with the transgressors. Our Master was. Our Lord was. So you just as might as well go ahead and just enter in and leave this place fixed up. Hallelujah. So, now, what is taking place in mine and your life? That we remain. That the Word of God is being worked in our very being today. What is happening? The Word is becoming flesh within these earthen vessels of ours. That the excellency will be the power of God and not of us. Now, back to where Brother Thompson dealing with those two witnesses. You see, this has been such controversial ever since that I've known anything about the Bible. So, one time I was in a people where they were arguing over the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. So, I do not believe that it is right to argue over the word of the Lord. Every one of us does not see eye to eye right now. But you center your Lord around the center your life around the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, and I will fellowship with you. And we'll allow God to iron the wrinkles out of every one of us because He's going to do it. So then at the same time, I said, I'm not going to allow that to be around here, but I'm going to break this up. And I hollered, hey, brethren, I know who the two witnesses is. They stopped in their such holy eyes. They listened to me. I said, I know who it is. It's Mary and Martha. Yeah. Mary and Martha. Because they were not right, so I had to break it somehow or another. But brother and sister, I want to declare unto you this morning, Mary and Martha, when their brother was graveyard dead, and the Bible says, by this time he stinketh, I want you to know that they looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, yes, he's dead, but I'm glad. Come on, does it say that? It says it. He's dead, and I'm glad. But then they begin to talk to Jesus. They said, now if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But Lord, we know that he's going to raise in the last day in the resurrection. We know that he is. Which that's true. But brother, the thing that they did not acknowledge, they were looking at resurrection right in the eyeball. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Brother, I want you to know it's time that we know the resurrection power of God, that we enter in and look Him not into the face of the face, with unveiled face, that we can behold the glory of our Lord, that we're changed into the image. So they were looking at resurrection right in the eyeball. Brother and sister, today, I want you to know, when we come into the presence of God, it's not to make chill bumps run up and down your spine. Not to make us do all of these things. But brother, it's for an eternal work to be done within these vessels of mine and yours, that you and I will remain through every foe that comes upon the face of this earth. Now, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as good a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Sister Nina taught us a chorus, and she sang it when she was at our church, and she sang it this morning. Then Judah first. There's a lot of things, and the more that I read this book is the more that I find out that I don't know nothing. A lot of things that I don't know, but there's one thing for certain that I do know this morning. Where Judah is, there is the presence of the Lord. Judah is forefront in battle. Judah camped on the east because they said there's a day coming when that veil is going to be rent and I'm going to see the presence of God. Come on. What is Judah? That's praise. And I want to say something again. I thank God for this camp. You know what this camp is founded upon? Prayer. Prayer is work, folks. I'd rather go work all day long than to pray hard in intercessory prayer for 2 hours. Because you'll be tired of praying the 2 hours. Intercessory prayer. Crying out for mankind. Now, what is God doing? God's raising up a king-priest ministry in the earth today. So this camp is founded upon prayer, praise, and worship. There's no other way of coming into the kingdom. No other way. But always people are trying to leave something off. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. But I'm talking about a ministry that's going to remain. What is the foundation of this place right here? It's a king-priest ministry. They've got one hand linked into the hand of the eternal God. Is that true? They've got the other hand upon God's people. And they're setting God's people free. So you're linked with one hand to the eternal God and the other one, a priestly ministry upon the nations or upon God's people. So brother, you can't lose in walking with God. So now, remaineth or to continue after or to live after. Now maybe that you don't like that, those words. Then let me give you another one that you might like a little bit better. To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh will I grant to him to sit with me in my throne even as I also my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Oh, I'm going to get me a chair and I'm going to sit in the sky with Jesus. In my mansion right next door to Jesus. God's not talking about you sitting in a chair. God's talking about you coming into a realm of authority, into a realm of the Spirit, that you will remain upon this earth. Brother, the enemy's got his bulldozer out there. You know, I don't know. And this is something that I have to rehearse before myself. Because, you know, we that have large churches, we want it to be filled with people that are growing in God. And that's our cry. Because, you see, they tell on us that we're not interested in the lost. They tell on us that. But I want to tell you something. About 2-3 weeks ago, at home, we got there at service, got up to the parking lot. Here come a young man come walking up there to the church. And he looked over there and he said, I need help. I need help. He was as drunk as I've heard the terminology say, drunk as a skunk. But he said, I need deliverance. And you know what? The first church has got no time for that because they ain't got no money. Hello, isn't that true, Brother Thompson? They've got no time for it. Because that's not going to be money unto the church. So, sometimes, you know, as Sister Irma said yesterday, these dirty people, sometimes you almost have to hold your nose while you're ministering. But the first church don't have no time for them. But I also got news for you while we're shaking this bush a little bit. I don't care how much is out there on radio and TV. Babylon will never reach the world with the gospel of the kingdom. Babylon will never do it. It's going to take a kingdom folk that's preaching about the King of Kings that's going to reach the kingdom. The world with the kingdom. So then this man came there, and Brother Jones and some others that had gained around us there, and we begin to minister to this man. So, he came on in, down in the foyer of our church, and when we got there, and I said, there's no further, you don't have to go no further. Right here, God can set you free. We began to minister to him. God set him free. He said, I want to go on up and be in service with God. And so he went on up, and so Brother Jones was ministering that night. So after the preliminaries, I went back and I sat down on the front pew there in our church. And he was sitting there and I sat up there beside him. He had no Bible. I reached around and I held up a Bible. I put a Bible into his hand, not there. And brother, it wasn't long until I found out. Do you know where he came from? My brother that I was sitting with last night. He and his young wife, we were sitting there together last night, talked about living in the Christian home. This boy was a backslidden Pentecostal preacher's son. Come on, folks. Come on. It's not how that you get out there and you ran for a while. Brother, it's how that you remain. Don't you ever want to be a used to be. I used to have this. I used to do it. I used to. Come on, folks. The Word of God says that we finish our course. That we finish it. All right, that we remain. Now, let's go on a little further. So then this man began to say, oh, but you've got to repent of all of your sins. He just came and got right with God. I know that people think that that liquor's got to wear off. But brother, I know a place in God that that liquor don't have to wear off. Our God can sober him up just like that. Brother, because of the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. So God set him free. But now, remain. Now, I want us to look, again, he said, his years cannot fail. I want to relate to a scripture. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. We know that here's a time when Adam and Eve has missed God. And they have been driven from the garden of God. And there is the cherubim that's placed over the entry of the garden. And the cherubim and the flaming sword. But that is guardianship. That Adam and Eve could not return back into the garden in the fallen state that they were in. Adam had no children that was born in the garden. There was no curse in the garden. Alright? So then God drove them from the garden and he barred the gate that they could not enter back in. But now, brothers and sisters, I want you to turn with me now into Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And I want us to look at a word here. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that continueth, to him that liveth after, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, how did they come in to eat of the tree in the midst of the paradise of God? To continue to come through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that they allowed the sword of the Spirit to cut away everything that was unlike God, and that they were overcomers, and then they ate of the tree of life. That was barred. Because why? They overcame and came through the Word. Hallelujah. And they remain. Now, so, do you want to continue on? Now, I don't know about you, but brother and sister, there's a beginning of sorrow that's upon the face of this earth today. I know of a many a ministry that started out with us. And from that time to this time, they either ran back for cover, compromised, and others is no longer preaching the gospel. And all of those things. Brother, it's wonderful to start out, but the goal is to continue. To continue. And brother and sister, every kind of thing is going to be unleashed upon this earth. But brother, it's mine your purpose to bring this earth out from under the curse. Not only collectively, but individually. To bring it out from under the curse. Now, to him that overcometh, will I grant to him, I will give him the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, I want us to look at another scripture. You know, last night, Brother Thompson kept on hitting my verse of scripture in Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Now, let's look at Psalms 102. And let's see what the Lord has to say to us here. Psalms 102, verse 15. And the Bible says, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, all the kings of the earth, thy glory. Now, how many knows that the dust of the earth is the serpent realm? The Bible said that the serpent only gets the dust. Now, the Lord, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Now, I know that there are those this morning that said, Brother Smith, I'm not perfect, so therefore I can't do anything. In this race that we have with God, we learn as we go. Peter, James, and John left their nets immediately. They didn't know nothing about following a king. They were fishermen. But they learned as they went. And there is something for you to do in the state that you are now. And you will learn as you walk on to follow on to know the Lord. So, now let's look a little further. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise the prayer. This shall be written for the generation. I believe today that we are the generation. I believe that we are the generation to him that the ends of the earth shall come upon. Then notice what he said. For the generation to come, what did our brother say last night? Where did we ever think that we was going to the Lord to get our reward? The Bible says he's coming with his reward with him. How do we get things in reverse? Isn't that what the Bible says? He's coming with his reward with him. Now, let's notice what he says here. Shall come the people which shall be created, shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Now, brother, I believe that the groaning and the travailing of the earth has opened up the nostrils of God, and that God is hearing what we are crying out today. And because the Bible said, we which are in these tabernacles, we groan within ourselves to be clothed upon and not to be unclothed. That life that would be swallowed up, that mortality would be swallowed up in life. Then let's notice what he says again. Why did he behold the earth? Because it's his. Where is the curse? In the earth. In the earth. The thorns, the thistle. In the earth. So what's God doing? Brother and sister, just because your name is Jack, that's no sign that you're delivered out from the curse. You have to come to God and appropriate and assimilate that word to be brought out from the curse. Come on. All right? Now to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Now to loose that are appointed unto death. How many knows that the Bible says in Hebrews that it is appointed unto death, unto man wants to die and after the judgment. Brother and sister, that bondage of corruption is in every one of us. But brother, God is taking this appointment out of us that we can remain in this earth and bring glory and honor to the kingdom. He paid the appointment. I didn't get to go down and sign for that pickup. But you see, one of these days, the Lord's just going to let me drive that new Ford pickup that's down here on the campground. And I'm going to go down there when y'all go today because I don't know nothing about hot spring. And I'm going with you and I'm going to sign for that pickup. Because after all, it's going to be part of mine. And I'm not like the meanie bird. It's me. But brother, it belongs to the family of God. It belongs to all of us. Hallelujah. Now, heard the groaning, that the appointment of death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he's going to roar out of Zion and utter his voice in Jerusalem, which is the type of the church And brother and sister, today there's never been such a roaring of the Word of God in areas as there is today. But brother, yet on the other hand, I've never seen such a falling away. Men of God that I've walked with, looked up to, and counted as great apostles of God. Walked with them. I grieved and grieved and grieved over them because I've seen them fall. But then God gave me this scripture. When Samuel was grieved over Saul, because Saul had miserably failed the Lord and did not carry out the command. So God told Samuel to shut up his crying, fill out a horn with oil, and go down to Jesse's house and to anoint him a king. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you something while we're right here. So God said to me, gave me another scripture. He said, in the day when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, as his sweat became as great drops of blood, he said some of the apostles went to sleep. But he says, now it's time for you to awake. Awake. Now, and I've said all the time, I said, God, I know that there are leaders. And when they go in, we're going to follow in. God said, I'm calling you to make the entry. Make the entry. And brother, when you're out there in front, it's when you meet all of the fiery guys of the wicked one. If you're not turning over the devil's kingdom, you have no problem. And if you want to have it made, you just go and hunker down into a church that's not turning over the kingdoms of this world, and you'll have it made. I didn't say you'd have it made with God, but you'd have it made with yourself. You have no problem. But brother and sister, I have come to a place, I don't know what's wrong if I'm not in a problem. Come on. Because I found out that it's part of it. Part of it. Part of it. If God spared not his own son, do you think he's going to spare this little peon here? Come on. No, sir, we're going through, folks. But God's putting this in us that we're going to remain. Hallelujah. That we're going to walk it out in this earth. Now, let's look here a moment at David, just for a moment. Samuel goes down there, and all of the sons, they stand up there. Well, Samuel, you see, after all, you know, I know it all because I've been asked to come here to speak at Lake Hamilton. And you know I know it all. Come on. Don't tell me that I didn't have to deal with that spirit down here in Lake Hamilton. You talk to Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. I went into the apartment and I talked to them about a man that God allowed me to see inside of that very being and what he was lurking after and doing. And I went in and talked to Glenn and Irma about it. My first trip to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and I knew nobody here. But brother, when the Spirit of God begins to uncover, and when you see it coming around and it's going to enter the body of Christ, it's time that you get to the leadership. All right? So, then, see, we know it all. So Samuel was a great prophet of God. He was a seer. Eliab runs up and runs. Oh, that's him. Look how tall he is. He's handsome. He's got real pretty wavy hair. Come on, we don't know it all is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. I don't care how much you know, you still don't know it all. And I don't care how much you do, you still need me, and I need you. Come on. So God said, Samuel, that's not him. Those looks at all the rest of them, and you know the story. But we got one down there that history says that he would even take a lamb's skin and that he would put it on him and turn that wool on the outside so that he would look like the rest of the sheep. Come on. Our master was numbered with the transgressors. He knew no sin. He was tempted in all points as we are and yet without sin. But Sister Nina, he took the old nasty sins of Bill Smith. He suffered. He became my scapegoat. He went in and took my place that I could have life and have it more abundantly. So now today, I'm only a debtor unto him, and so are you. Now, so then said, oh, yes, we got one down there. He's red-headed. He's a little ruddy. He's really not masculine enough. He's only got a little bit of peach fuzz on his face. How many knows that's what we called it in Oklahoma when I was just a child? We weren't old enough to shave, but we thought we were, so we'd get in there and we'd start. But when he come out before, God said, that's him. That's him. That's him. So then the vial of oil was poured upon him. Then one day, again, he still went on tending to the sheep. But all the time, he was training for the throne. Come on. But he went on tending to the sheep. Oh, I'm an apostle. I can't pick up paper off the floor. Let these peons do it. I can't clean the bathrooms. Let the peons do it. If you want to be an apostle of God, you begin to flow in what God tells you to do. If it's to clean the latrine, get after it. Mow the grass, get after it. So then, one day it came again that David was anointed again over Judah. Come on, for 7 years and a half. So then that was the second anointing that came upon David. And brother, when you were saved, there was a vial of oil that came upon you. Then when the infilling of the Holy Spirit came into your life, there was another vial of oil came upon you. And brother, the day you and I are coming into the place when all of the earth began to cry out, and they brought David in, and David was anointed again, but he was anointed king over all of Israel. Brother, the third anointing is coming up on you and I today, that we are anointed for the kingdom. But we must remain, continue on to live after or to overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But brother, this is where it's all about today, is to continue on. Because God has never used an escapee. He's never used a deserter. Have you ever seen the soldier that's gone AWOL when God needs them? Come on. God has got this so fitly formed and planned together that every joint is going to supply. That we are becoming this holy habitation of God through the Spirit today. Now, let's go on a little further here. Let's skip on down to the 25th verse. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Who is your life today? Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our life today. And if we're chosen in Him, brother and sister, it's time that you and I begin to walk this out today in shoe leather. I see people, they say, oh, Brother Smith said, I'm a king. The only way that Jesus Christ, our Lord, can be king of kings in your life is that you become a king and he becomes king over you. He's the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. There is saviors up on Mount Zion and they're judging Mount Esau. Obadiah chapter 21. And that's the only way that Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 is going to be fulfilled and completed. That the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the water covers the sea. God was speaking to Moses one day in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 21. And God is saying to Moses, as truly as I live, I know some people have preached God's funeral, but I got news for you. And I hear people talking about the mercy of God is going to end. Brother, if you are in judgment, God is still exercising His mercy over you. If you start preaching the end of grace, You might as well start preaching God's funeral. Come on. Brother, if God whipped me and said, look, you're going to have to measure up here to come into my stature and to come into my fullness, God's going to whip me through mercy. God's going to whip me by His grace. By His grace. Unmerited favor. But brother and sister, today, I hear so many talking about God going out of business. Then I hear people talking about the devil running over them. Now I want to tell you something. You hear this morning. The devil always reports for duty. Come on. He always reports for duty. But brother, that's no sign that you have to listen to him. Brother, God is bringing us into a place that you and I are coming into a complete deliverance in Him, that we're going to deliver groaning and the travailing creation in the earth today. So you see, God is defending Himself into a corporate body in the earth today that's going to manifest Himself in this earth. Now, you said, but Brother Smith, I didn't like none of those definitions that you gave me. So now let me give you another one. State of being. Look it up in the dictionary. In Unger's, or you look it up in Webster, and you'll see what it means. State of being. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. What did our brother tell us last night? Come on. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. We can't get this together. Oh God, give me. Luke 6:38, what does it say? Give. Oh God, just give me. Make me a millionaire, God. Who is the richest? The poor that is working for the millionaire that has got his relationship and his fellowship with God, that's walking with God, or the millionaire that doesn't know God at all? I'd rather be the poor. Because brother and sister, it'll be like a man that came to me one time. He said, I understand that you're a minister and I know that you own this business and everything. He said, I'm a poor preacher. And he said, I'm just barely making it. I looked at him and I said, you mean to tell me that you're the representative of the highest kingdom that's ever existed? What a poor testimony. And look at this poor fellow here. One of my employees. I said, he's looking to me for his payroll. And you ought to be looking to God. Hallelujah. What are you worried about? If God be for you, who can be against you? Come on, let's get this thing in order. Let's get it in the right perspective that we will continue, hallelujah, God, and live above reproach in this earth and turn this world upside down, that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Hallelujah. But you see, God's doing away with all of that. And God's bringing forth a people that's going to stand in the earth with the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn with me now into Hebrews chapter 13. And I want us to look again. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 26 to verse 28. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. You know, I'm sorry, folks, I am in 12. But I did give you the right verses. Okay, 12:26 through 28. You know, many of you that has been in contact with the political world, you know, perhaps that you knew much more about this. And perhaps maybe I'm just a greenhorn in this area. But I never knew such a shaking going on in ruler over us in this earth until Watergate. I've been to the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. I've been there. I minister out in Pennsylvania, out from there, and over in West Virginia. I've been there in the Watergate Hotel. But brother and sister, look how the things begin to be in the earth. Now look at many of our leaders, congressmen from our own state, how that they've got them up in milk drive tests and all of these types of things, and how that they have this our eternal general from Texas, had him up in this bribery thing. And of course, he came out. I don't know if he's innocent or not. I don't know that. But I'm talking about the shaking. Now, all of that has came up in the earth. But brother and sister, this earth is on a crash collision course. Now, I travel across many countries, and I've been in many foreign countries. And I'll tell you what, America, with all of its pornography, homosexuals, and all of the moral breakdown in everything that we have in America, yet she's the prayerless nation that there is on the planet today. America sends more missionaries and more money to the foreign countries than all the countries combined together. I don't agree with all the immorality and all of the loose living and all of this type of thing that there is going on in the earth. But brother and sister, I'm glad that I'm an American. And when I get out into these foreign countries, I don't do it, but I feel like it. I feel like getting down and actually kissing the ground. When I came out of the airplane, or if I've driven, I feel like kissing the ground. Because America is what's holding it together today. Even though that she's been rubbed through the mud, she's got all the dirt on her, she's still the one that's holding together. Brother and sister, God's bringing intercessors down to their knees today in America. Intercessory prayer is the strongest law that is in the land. Explain that, Brother Smith. A mother can go to court with her wayward son. The judge can read what he should do to that son. But that mother has stood before that judge and has cried and interceded. Said, "Judge, if you'll release him unto me, I'll be responsible and I'll take no more." They begin to cry out. And brother, that intercessor from that to that judge, the judge would say, "Well, mother, I will release him into your custody." Why? Because intercessory has tore us down. Praise the Lord. That's what God is doing today, to raise up intercessors that we will remain. Hallelujah to God, and that will not be removed. Because listen, folks, we are the generation that I believe that God is moving upon, that we will put every enemy under foot. And that last enemy that shall be destroyed, it's death. And there's no way that you're going to live until you die first. Die unto your own wills, your wants, and your desires. And that your will becomes the will of God. Now, he said he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And brother, you will be shaken as well. How many of you in the last 4 or 5 years? Brother Glenn, I saw that I knew about shakings. I thought I knew about problems. But in the last 2 years, they have intensified against us and against our church at home. Seems like there's been schools of spirits that has been released against us and against the church of the living God. Because you know why? He knows he's got but a short time. And he's working both shifts day and night. Hello there. Tell me that he doesn't. Don't the Bible say he's working day and night? he's working those shifts. Why? To overthrow the one that's going to bind him to the bottomless pit. If he can deal with us in the state that we are now and put us out of business, he's won. He can't do it. We are going to remain. We are going to continue after. We are going to change our state of being. Hallelujah, God, and we will overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know when God burned this into me 2 weeks ago? I was in my study. I said, God, I read in your book where that you poured out the fresh oil upon your people. Lord, I'm not interested in anything that's happened in gone days gone by. Lord, I want something for this hour. And right then, Brother Glenn, I was right in the midst of one of the crises that had come our way. Right in the midst of it, this was born into my being. God said to me, but I've called you to remain, and I want you to get in and study it out, not dig it out. To remain or to live after. Hallelujah. You see, we can all jump out there like a rabbit and hop around for a little bit. But brother, I'm talking about when you leave Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, that you'll go home and that you'll continue what you've been doing here, because you've come through this deliverance that God has wrought a work within your being that you will continue on. Hallelujah to God. And then when you come back to camp, that Brother Glenn and Irma won't have to deal with the same thing that they had to deal with in this camp. Hallelujah, that you will come into complete deliverance to continue on. Live after. Sure, the shaking is coming. But brother, there's a little old boy in our church that I dedicated him to the Lord. I dedicated brothers and sisters to the Lord. I baptized them in water and everything. So I believe that the King requires haste. I don't think God wants us to drag in services and drag out. I think if there was time to start, I think we need to be here. That's as much pastor that's within me. So I had a man that came from up in South Carolina, was fixing to go into the mission field with me. I don't know what happened. That morning he said, he had to wash a pair of pants. So he run them out there and put them in the washer. And so he was going to get take them out and put them in the dryer. So he got in there and that one pair of pants was all around the dasher. So he was spending time. My God, I'm looking at that clock and it's just ticking on over all the time. That's one thing I will never want to be late. I want to be on time in every aspect. Because listen, folks, that may be the time when the Holy Spirit is going to hover over that people and that you need to be in there. So he kept on fooling around them pants, and I thought, my God, you can wear a pair of mine. You can roll them up or do something. We're going to have to get to church. And so we get there just up at 10 o'clock. And see this here. This boy is all just like my own, you know. So he sees me coming in, and that little rascal runs there and locks the door. He run and locks the door and then laughs. And so I shook my fist at him, you know, playing with it. He looked at that and he says, well, so what? But brother, when the enemy shakes his fist at you, you tremble and you run. But brother, when he shakes his fist at you, look at him and say, so what? It's time that you use the delegated authority that God has delegated. Now, we're going to have to hurry. Have you ever had changed your attitude? I have got in a frenzy over what something has done to me. Like a man that told me one time, he said to me, he said, Brother Smith, said you catch the plane and you come on out here, and Brother Smith will just take care of everything. So I caught the plane, went out and I preached in the seminar and taught, and I was on the panel. So then when that was all over with, I went home and he didn't even pay for my plane ticket. And oh, I got in a frenzy. So my wife, you know, we always looking for somebody to have sympathy on us, you know. So after all, my wife, she loves me. because her and I, we grew up together. We got married as kids and we grew up together. So I go, after all, you know, she really loves me. I came home and I was telling her what a dirty deal that I had gotten. And I was expecting her, well, honey, I know. And I was expecting her to have simply, she said, but Bill, when you started out for the other side, you knew that you was going to cause every situation there was. So don't feel sorry for yourself, but just let's continue on. We don't get no sympathy, and sympathy's not going to help you, folks. It's going to take your liver up that's going to help you, not sympathy. I can have sympathy for you, but it's not going to help you. It's going to take your liver up. So here I am in this frenzy. The way that, and I'm not saying that that was right, but that's the way that it got me. So, it wasn't long until he called me again. And when we come back out there, I thought, my God, I've already went 5 miles, and the Bible only tells me to go 2. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Father, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for this campground. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the foundation that has been laid in this place. We thank you for this people, Lord, that they can come, Lord, and they come one way and go home another way, Lord. Delivered and set free. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we've heard since we've been in this camp, Lord. Lord, not only that we will be just hearers of it, but Lord, that we will be doers of it, Lord. Lord, hearers are not good enough, but doers of it. Now, Father, again, we come to you again about the natural fellowship and the food, Lord. Father God, we ask you today, Lord, to bless this fruit to our bodies, Lord. And Father, to bless the hands that have prepared this food this morning, Lord. Lord, that we will go in the strength of this food to do your will and your purpose in the earth. And we'll give glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.